Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
Romans chapter 3. This is not my introduction. I actually got this. This is going to be my introduction, but I hadn't planned on it as my introduction until Paul began to preach. I was with Paul, mainly with Paul. Of course, Paula was there and Penny was there, but we were at their house yesterday and we were doing our taxes. Paul helped me, and I thank God for that. But we were together 2-3 hours, right? And I won't go into why it took so long, because I'll start ranting and raving. But we're together 2-3 hours. Paul asked me one question, and I want to correct him on one thing and one thing only. He said it was his opinion that we do not have imputed. He might not have said it exactly this way, about Christ performing for us a legal righteousness. He didn't keep the law for us. It don't say those words. But it never says that Christ kept the law for us. He kept the law because he was the God-man.
Yes, sir.
And he loved God's law as no other human being ever has. And he kept it. And Paul, you're only wrong. That's not your opinion. Because the righteousness that we are imputed and imparted is the very righteousness of God. And that is much more than a legal righteousness. God did not rest on the seventh day because he was told to. He rested on the seventh day because he was done. Now in Romans 3 verse 27, Paul had no idea I was going here. I mean, he might have had a little idea if he did listen the way he did evidently listen to last Sunday's message. Romans 3, verse 27. I will try not to be too long, but we're planning on eating together. So hopefully no one has to be in a hurry. If you do, then I'm going to finish what I've got to say, what I have here to say this morning. Romans 3, 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. It's not just strongly discouraged. It's excluded. By what law? It's the same word used for the law of Moses, the law from Sinai, but it doesn't mean that here. By what authority? What principle? That's what the word law means, an authority, a principle.
Yes.
By what authority? Of works? Is it the law of works? No. It's excluded by the law of faith. That's what he's saying.
Amen.
The law of faith. That's not a Sinai law.
Nope.
It's not a religious law. It's not a denominational law. It's the law of God concerning faith.
Amen.
What faith really is. And faith intrinsically resides in God alone.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to try to hope this may help. Paul quoted it. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Notice it never says repentance. Repentance is a gift of God, but it's not the fruit of the Spirit because the Spirit never needs to repent.
Exactly.
Do you get what I'm... The fruit of the Spirit are those qualities, perfections, that reside in God alone.
Amen.
And he bestows these things upon his people by grace,
Amen.
Through his Spirit, through the encouragement of the preaching of Jesus Christ and him crucified.
Amen.
If the preaching of Jesus Christ and him crucified does not encourage you enough, then you will never be truly encouraged.
Yeah, that's it.
Never. Where is boasting then? Is it excluded? By what law of works made, but by the law of faith? Therefore, we determine this to be a fact. I'm paraphrasing. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law.
Amen.
Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. And remember, no word in Scripture is given nonchalantly, just because Paul wasn't just trying to mix up his language, as I often do. I often just try to mix up my language. It's because I'm not inspired. I don't know the facts as they always are, so I give it my best stab. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid.
Amen.
Yes. Yea. We establish the law. Where is boasting then? It is excluded.
Amen.
My title is, although this is not going to be the exclusive subject by any means, my title is Boasting is Excluded.
Amen.
The law, that is, as the word in its simple form in the Greek, means a regulation or a principle or an authority. The law for this exclusion of boasting is faith. Faith. One, because faith resides intrinsically only in God. If you have faith, it is a free, sovereign gift of mercy and compassion from God. But it is still, though it's given in measure, you don't have faith to the degree God does. I don't even know that in glory we will. He's God. We'll never become little gods. But if He's given you faith, it is a part of that tremendous, exalted, perfect character of God Himself that resides in you by the power of the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel. That is to say, the righteousness of God by faith of Jesus Christ is unto all and upon all them that believe. When God gives you that measure of faith that is Christ's faith, and He gives that to you, it will manifest itself in belief of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
You will come to Him. You will trust Him. You will bow to Him. You will seek His honor and glory. But you will not always succeed.
Right.
You will fail.
Yeah.
Right. I think it was Micah said, "When I fall, when I fall, I shall arise." Not if I fall, but when I fall.
Amen.
The conclusion to this is, therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without not single one law deed. None. It's not our love for God. It's believing God. But believing God is energized by love. That's what the book says. That's what the book says. He goes on, though. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith. Start from the start. And this is when we believe. When we believe. And we'll see that more when he gives the prime example of this faith in Abraham. This wasn't God, as Earl used to say, this wasn't God believing for Abraham. This was Abraham believing God.
Amen.
But we know he only believed God because God gave him the faith with which to believe.
Amen. That's it.
Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith. Start and all the way through the middle and in its ultimate consummation. I know men have said it this way, and I think it's totally valid, totally true. Once we get to glory, we won't need faith in the sense that we needed it here. And I added that. I haven't heard another one say that, and I don't mean to criticize. But not in the capacity that we need it now. We will be like Him because we will see Him with our eyes as He is.
Amen.
We will be fully and finally conformed to the image of His Son. But God's doing that now. But it's God that's doing it. It's not us doing it for God. So, He then says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Start to finish. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Try to quickly give us a little help with that. The God of the Jews. The God of the Gentiles. He is the God of both.
Amen.
That means He is the Creator. He is the Ruler. He is the Judge. He is the Redeemer. If anybody is redeemed, Jew or Gentile, He's the God that does it.
Amen.
There was not Jehovah for the Israelites and then Baal for somebody else. Baal was a figment of men and women's imagination.
Yes, sir. That's it.
But the Jews have become so self-centered and self-absorbed, they thought God was just their God. As though they owned Him.
Exactly.
But God owns all men.
Amen.
Jew and Gentile.
Yes, sir.
To be long-suffering and fit them to destruction because, and through justice because of their sins.
Yeah.
Or through free sovereign mercy and grace in Christ bestowed upon them freely by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Is He the God of the Jews only? Is He not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles only. Now, what about this same difference, this difference between by and through? This is a little tough. If you try to look up the actual meanings of by and through, it could throw you for a loop. But I hope God enables me to help us this morning in this. Seeing it is one God which shall justify thee. Notice now the phrase is what? Circumcision, not Jew, although that's implied, but it's not Jew. He just mentioned Jew and Gentile. Now he says circumcised and uncircumcised. Now, let us never forget, not every Jew was necessarily circumcised. There may have been some rebels amongst the camp throughout the years that were never circumcised. Correct? If you had believing, disbelieving parents, a mother and father that could care less about the worship of God in Israel at those days, you may have never been circumcised as a male child. This is talking now. He takes it from what your genealogy is to either religious or not religious.
Yeah.
That's the meaning by circumcision.
Yeah.
If you were circumcised under law is because somebody was religious.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Somebody at least gave some regard to the command of God.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
If you were uncircumcised, it meant they did not.
Exactly.
They did not. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. The circumcision, not the Jew as I pointed out.
Yeah.
The circumcision, the uncircumcision, not Gentile necessarily, because there were some Gentiles who were circumcised. Especially when they came into the camp of Israel and became a part of the camp of Israel. So you have the circumcised, the uncircumcised. This refers to this, to religious advantage. He's already pointed it out in 3:1. A circumcised person no doubt had some religious advantage. You get what he's getting at now? Now, religious, but not necessarily spiritual closeness. Paul mentions that to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians 2:11-12. The commonwealth of Israel. And they were, in the fact that they had the oracles of God, they were close to God. The Gentiles had none of this.
That's right.
None of this. So it's religious, not spiritual necessarily. It has to do with closeness. The difference is a practical, not a theological. That is, okay, there's a kind of faith that God saves some by, and then there's another kind of faith that God saves some through. That's what I'm trying to point out. The faith is not different. Some were just close, therefore it was just by. Others were far off, therefore it is through. In other words, the circumcised had works, but he didn't necessarily have faith. The circumcised may have well had works, but he didn't have faith. Faith is essential, thus they're justified by faith. The uncircumcised had neither works nor faith. Now, they may have had some works, but they were totally heathenistic works. The uncircumcised had neither works nor faith. Faith is essential. Therefore, it's not God gave them some works and some faith. He gave them what? Faith. Because it's only by true God-given faith that you ever truly work for God.
Amen.
This is, and faith produces work.
Yes.
Obedience.
Yes,
effort.
Yes.
Desire.
Yes,
and I mentioned that last Sunday. By faith, Noah, what? He didn't say, all right, the flood coming, I'm going to find me the biggest tree I could find and hang on to it with all my might. God said, build a boat.
Amen.
Didn't he? So what does faith make him do? Builds a boat. God said in some way, God, and I think it's through Adam and Eve, but God had informed Abel and Cain what to do. The right way of sacrifice. Blood sacrifice. Abel had faith, so what did he do? He offered a blood sacrifice. Cain did not. Therefore, he had no blood in his sacrifice. Now, that's brought us up to this. Do we then make void the law through faith? I might not even finish what I was going to say about Paul. We were together 3 or 4 hours and never mentioned this part. And when he began to read, I thought, he ought not be doing this. This is my territory this morning. Because this is going to be my subject. Do we then make the void, do we make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the faith. Now, had he asked me yesterday about this, I would have said, Paul, don't preach on that. I'm going to preach on that. But I'm glad he didn't ask me because God's in this thing.
Yes, sir.
God's in this thing. And God evidently wants us to hear this twice this morning.
Yes, sir.
And as God is my witness, Paul and I never discussed this, did we? Never did. Now, Paul asked the question about, and he's right. Now, I know the Spirit of God was there in this. Paul asked the question about those who hold the faith.
Yeah.
Do we make void the law through faith? He didn't say, does faith make void the law? Faith doesn't have to do with the law.
That's right.
The law is not of faith.
Exactly.
See? But we do have something to do with the law. One, we're all under it by nature. And our old nature, our flesh, is still under that law. God has not delivered our flesh from the law. He's delivered us from the law.
Amen.
Now, before I go any further, someone says, well, does that mean I'm supposed to obey God's law in the flesh? You can't. I'm not saying to you it's okay if you're under grace to break the law. I'm telling you, you break the law whether you want to or not. You tell me you keep the law, I'll call you to your face a liar.
Exactly.
A liar.
Yeah.
And as Paul ably said, we're not trying to break God's law. But I'm telling you the truth this morning. I don't go around thinking I got to keep the law today. If you do, you're in trouble.
Amen.
You're miserable. You got to be miserable or deceived. One or the other.
Yeah.
One or the other. So Paul asked this question about those who hold to faith only. And that's the context. Do we, who? Not everybody, we. Not the old pontifical we. We as believers. That's the whole context. Do we who are believers, and I am paraphrasing, but do we who are believers then make void the law? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Does our stance for faith alone start to finish? And if your stance, if you're not facing this thing through faith and through faith from start to finish, you will have a rude awakening one day. We'll have a rude awakening. Hebrews is clear. These all died in faith. But it's clear from the context, somewhere along the line, God gave them faith to start with. And this life they lived in was a life of faith. It had utter failures. Every one of them did. Every one of them. Look at Jephthah. Made a covenant with God that the first thing that comes out of my house, I'll kill it and sacrifice it to you. It was his only daughter. Be careful when you promise God something.
Yes, sir.
Because God's not going to accept, God's not going to let it slide because of our foolishness.
Exactly.
Start to finish. Does our stance for faith alone start to finish? Do we negate the law through faith? Paul is clear. God forbid. Now just briefly, Paul's ably dealt with some of it. Believers acknowledge the law is holy and the commandment holy, just, and good.
Amen.
If you find somebody that says they believe in free sovereign grace, but they're angry about the law, they don't love God's law, they don't like God's law, they don't care about God's law, and they think it's okay for them to break God's law, they don't know what they're talking about.
You're right.
It's never okay for us to break the law. But we do all the time. And that may be a conundrum. It may be a cop-out to some. But let me tell you something. When a person is unregenerate, they're not going to understand the truth. And you can't ease it and kind of put law and works and faith kind of together just enough to help them to maybe not be so offended by grace. They don't get it to start with. And when you mix it up, you are dishonoring Christ. You are not helping out that person's soul. You are not. I would not be. Believers acknowledge the law is holy and the commandment holy, just, and good. Chapter 7, verse 12. Believers acknowledge the law's defining of sin. By the law is the knowledge of sin. Chapter 3, verse 12. And it still tells us what sin is. It's still a sin to commit fornication. Right? It's still a sin not to rest on the Sabbath. But how many of us do? How many of us really do? Oh, we can say, well, I don't do much work on Saturday. I stay home. At best, I go get groceries. No, we're talking about keeping the Sabbath. But that's no less moral than loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. It's all still sin. So don't misunderstand me here. It's all still sin. If you don't honor your mother and father, it's still a sin. But you're not going to get merit before God by honoring your mother and father.
Amen.
Because even if you could do that one, you still have 10 more to deal with. And they encompass hundreds of others.
Yes, sir.
I know the natural mind looks at this and says, that don't make sense. It does with God because He's the one that designed all this.
Amen.
I've got to tell you, there seems to be some overlap to me. But I know these two things, law and grace, are separate like this. They're separate like this. Believers acknowledge the law's defining of sin. But believers also know the law don't really tell us how bad sin really is. It tells us what sin is.
Amen.
But it don't tell us how bad sin really is. We see how bad sin really is when we see God the Father turning His back on the Son when He hung on the tree because God seen sin in His Son. That tells me how bad it really is. If He'll do that to Him, what do I deserve? What do I deserve? Huh? I wish today I could tell you from this day forward I'm going to start obeying and keeping and honoring God's law. But I've got to be honest with you. I can't. I can't. And there have been times I have tried. And at best, it don't last long. And usually, it's fraught full of self self-approval, you know. I didn't mean for that to happen. I didn't mean to say that way. I was putting forth my best effort. The law doesn't demand our best effort. It doesn't demand our best effort. It demands it be kept completely and wholly and absolutely. Believers acknowledge the law's entrance. That is the giving of the law, that the offense by what? Abound. Abound. Romans 5:20. But here we go. I've got five things. There's more than five. But believers reject. Now, Paul is absolutely correct. Everything he said is right about, do we make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. And he said enough that I could have not said another word. But this is where I'm at in our study. And I have struggled with this. As my wife will testify to you, I have struggled with this for the past week. And I have rewrote this and rewrote this and rewrote this. One evening, matter of fact, Sunday evening, when baby were sitting just watching TV, she was watching TV, I rewrote this thing twice that evening. And I thought, it still ain't it. When I looked down, I had a lot of I's in it. Me, me, me. I thought, that ain't right. So I rewrote it again that Sunday evening. And then I still realized, this ain't it. Now listen to me, believers reject any and all overextension of the law's purpose as well. It is not establishing the law if you extend the law further than what the law is designed for. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you said, well, the law is for this, but it's not really for this, you're not establishing the law. That means to make it to stand, to confirm its rightful purpose. It doesn't say by faith we keep the law. It says by faith we establish the law. So again, I say believers reject any and all overextension of the law's purpose. This too is to establish the law. Just five things. Believers reject. Reject. It's not just something that's not really, they're dabbling in a little bit, but just don't make it the prime thing. Believers reject. And when I use this word, I want to use it five, well, I may use it more than five times, but it's five, all five of these things. I got this reject. It means the same thing as to oppose or to be against or to be anti. And I will say it clearly. I am anti-law when it comes to these five things I'm going to give you this morning. I am anti-law. I am Mason antinomian. I am against God's law when it comes to these five things. I am not going to cow down and preach and try to mix law and grace.